This is Vectis Radio.
We're back with the mid-morning show. We've got in the studio Tozin. Good morning, Tozin.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, doing very well.
You're going to talk to us about films?
Yes, I'm going to talk to you about films, what I have been seeing at the cinema recently.
Okay.
So there's two things. There is the big film in the moment, the sort of like the big sort of attempt at the blockbuster, which is Independence Day Resurgence.
Oh, right, okay.
Which is a sequel to the Independence Day movie all the way back from 1996.
Oh, yes.
And there's another film called The Nice Guys, which is starring Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling, written and directed by a guy called Shane Black, who is most famous for writing Lethal Weapon. All the way back.
So, that's a long way ago.
Yeah. The guy's actually quite accomplished. I mean, he wrote Lethal Weapon. He had some stuff to do with Predator. He wrote, if you saw the Bruce Willis movie, The Last Boy Scout.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he wrote that as well. So, like, he's known for buddy movies and, like, you know, back and forth repartee. But those are the two films that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, if you think back to 1996, I know there might be some listeners who were not even born then or something like that. But 1996, there was this movie called Independence Day, and it was released.
Yes.
And it was a big, massive blockbuster, and it was all about aliens invading Earth. And it had this massive signature shot of where they blow up the White House.
Yes, I remember.
And that was kind of like, oh my God, especially because a lot of these films are made for an American market.
Yes.
And the Americans, I mean, you've got to remember that this was an era before something like 9/11, before.
Yes.
And so for them, the idea of blowing up a landmark or anything like that was just kind of like such an affront, and they just had never seen anything like that before. And that signature shot of the alien mothership above the White House, and then this laser beam comes in and just blows up this building, that was kind of like a, oh my word, what is this film? Who are these aliens? How terrible are they? They're coming to, like, destroy everything and blow up our president and blow up the White House. And Independence Day, I think on that one shot, it coasted also on the charisma of Will Smith. It coasted to, like, you know, massive take-ins at the box office and everything like that.
Yeah. And they did save the dog.
Yes, they saved the stupid dog. Sorry. There is a trend in American movies that I really, really do not understand, where they take a lot of time and effort to show that the dog doesn't die.
Yes, but they did take an awful lot of effort to show that the dog doesn't die.
Yeah, to show that the dog doesn't die. And apparently that is kind of like an audience, so psychology thing.
Right.
In which if the dog dies, people are not going to like your movie.
I'm sorry if that's a spoiler for you, by the way.
From the original Independence Day.
The dog doesn't die.
Look, it's an American movie.
And Daddy's gone to heaven.
Look, it's an American movie. It's a blockbuster. Therefore, the dog will not die.
No, dogs are all fine.
Dogs never die in American blockbusters. Go back and check it out.
Lots of people do, but not dogs.
Lots of people do. People don't care about that, but you've got to save the dog.
Yeah.
And that gets up my nose so much. Gets up my nose. Like, if you've ever seen the film Man of Steel, the Superman.
I've heard of it. I've not seen it yet.
There's a whole sequence that is all about a man sacrificing himself for a dog.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. If you're a dog lover and everything like that, I'm sorry. But that doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. No.
Why are we like, oh, the dog survived. His dad died. Never mind that. The dog's alive.
Half the world is destroyed, but the dog is fine.
The dog is fine. Yeah. I don't get that. So anyway, Independence Day Resurgence, after my rant over, back to the film.
Yes.
Independence Day Resurgence. The whole idea is that it's been 20 years. So in the film, they actually acknowledge that there's been 20 years since the last attack. By this time, human beings have sort of united because of this alien threat that came against them. So the whole world is united. They've taken all this alien technology that they've salvaged and they've incorporated it into human technology. So you have things like helicopters that don't have rotor blades because they have alien sort of like technology powering them and all that kind of stuff. And a whole bunch of characters, you revisit a whole bunch of characters from the first film, like Jeff Goldblum. His character, who was the scientist who figured out how to infiltrate the... I have to say, the first one is silly, but it's a lot of fun. So this one carries on that theme, because he figures out how to infiltrate the alien's system using a virus that he uploads on a Mac. It's kind of like...
As you would.
The alien system is compatible with Macs. So it's...
Of course it is.
Yeah. It's like Apple, there's an app for that. Alien Invasion, there's an app for that.
Yeah.
And so he's now become the head of, like, you know, interplanetary sort of defense. And he spent 20 years building this thing because he's like, they're coming back. We think they're coming back and we need to be ready. Mm-hmm. So he spends the time building all this up stuff. The president, who was in the last film, keeps getting these visions because he has some sort of telepathic connection with the aliens.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so he keeps getting these visions and he keeps thinking something's coming, something bad's coming. Meanwhile, most of the world is like, no, it's all fine, it's all fine. The Will Smith character's dead. But his son is now a fighter pilot, obviously.
Of course.
All that kind of stuff. And so they spend some time setting up the scene. I was like, this is what the characters are doing now. These are new characters that are going to be seen. These are the new people who are going to be running, screaming, fighting, flying fighter jets, all that kind of stuff. Then what you've been waiting for shows up, which is the big, massive mothership. Now, it's a sequel, so obviously they've already given you something before. They've already blown up the White House. They've already given you like loads of big ships all over these major cities in the world. So what you've got to do this time, it's got to be bigger. and they acknowledge this. Jeff Goldblum, he has a line, which I think was written very knowingly, where he looks up and he goes, well, that's definitely bigger than the last one. That's part of the strength of this film. It knows how silly it is.
Right,
it
okay, knows, that's fair enough.
It knows that you are going to be thinking about the last one. It knows that, okay, we blew up the White House the last time. How do we top that? So they have these scenes. There's no standout shot like the blowing up of the White House. But they have all these scenes. Like, they have a bit where this massive ship, and essentially this ship is so wide that it traverses the Atlantic. So when it lands, one bit of it lands down on one side of the Atlantic, the other bit lands on the other side of the Atlantic. That's how big this ship is. So this ship comes up and it has its own gravity. So when it comes over the Earth, all these things start getting attracted to it. So you have the monuments, and this is another bit where they show how knowing they are about how silly the film is. You have all these monuments that get attracted up to it but it continues traveling until it sort of like lets go of them in its gravity. So it flies over Dubai, picks up the Burj Khalifa, which is like the tallest, like, you know, 7-star hotel. It picks that up and then it drops it over London. So you have a shot in which the Burj Khalifa is coming down like a dart, going straight for the bullseye of the London Eye. And some of these shots are quite awe-inspiring, and there are a lot of shots that you say, okay, I've never seen that in a film before. Jeff Goldblum has another line when they're flying through all this debris in London as all these monuments are crashing into it. He goes, well, they do like to go for the landmarks. As you see the Petronas Towers from Malaysia crash into Tower Bridge. So it's a silly film. It's a lot of fun, though. It's a lot of fun. I would totally recommend going to see it. As one of my friends puts it, it's a lot of pew, 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 pew. As you're having alien dog fights and all that kind of stuff. The plot is pretty much nonsensical. And about two-thirds of the way in, they start laying the tracks, laying, you know, ooh, sequel. We want to do another one. We want to do another one. Because there's something they do about two-thirds of the way through, and I'm like, there's no way they're going to be able to resolve that before this film ends. So it's, yeah, it's good. It'll pass 2 hours of time.
Two hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what they're pretty much all now. I don't think it's as good as the first one.
I don't think it's as good as the first one,
but but knowing what they had in the first one and how they carried on, I actually have a lot of time for the way they did it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll give it 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5, not bad. The Tozin scale of how great a film is, 3 out of 5?
Yeah, 3 out of 5.
Not bad.
Yeah, other film is The Nice Guys.
Right.
Yeah, so this is Russ. So it's essentially, if you've ever seen an LA detective story, but this is set in the 70s. So you have Ryan Gosling, who's a private investigator, Russell Crowe, who wants to be a private investigator, and they get embroiled in this sort of like seedy underbelly of LA, where when somebody dies, well, quite frankly, a porn star dies, and then they sort of start following the thread to see exactly where does this thing go, to figure out how high up and high up and
it goes.
And all that. And this is a film, because there's a lot of films like this before. There's a lot of films where you could use that basic plot line. A murder happens. These two intrepid detectives start pulling on the thread and they figure out how far up this conspiracy goes. There's a lot of films like that. And so this film plays a lot with that. It knows that, you know, what you expect to happen. If there's a gunfight, you know someone's going to sort of like probably dive over some like nice car and hide behind it with a gun. And it plays with these things quite often. It has a whole bunch of funny moments. Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe do make quite an adorable double act. And it's quite a good film. I mean, the bits of it that I thought worked and some bits I think that didn't quite work as well. And there were bits where I just kind of thought, okay, where are you actually going with this? And then at the end, the result, the resolution is kind of a bit like, meh. I'll give it 3 out of 5 as well. But it's definitely worth the time.
And these are on currently. These two films.
These two films are currently on at the Cineworld. I don't know whether they're on in Ride.
I'll check that out later.
I'm pretty sure that Independence Day will be on in Ride, because that is going to be the big movie that people are going to want to see.
Fair enough. Now, whilst you're here,
yep.
I heard some stuff about Now You See Me Too.
Yes, Now You See Me Too.
That's coming. That's got much the same cast.
It's got much the same cast, apart from one person, Isla Fisher, who played, because that's about the four horsemen,
yeah,
who are a magic troupe, and it's three men and a woman, and the woman has been sort of like, you know, cut and pasted. So they've removed Isla Fisher and they've brought in Lizzie Kaplan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think from what I hear, they don't try and say it's the same character. They say it's a different character. So right, the other one actually did leave.
Right.
I think in real life, Isla Fisher left because I think she was pregnant. She had she was going to have another kid with Ali G.
Okay.
Yeah, because she's married to Sacha Baron
Cohen.
Oh, yes,
she is. Yes, that's right.
So, married or their partners, I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
So it's... I think she's going to have another kid. Either that or she might have seen the script and run. So,
you just don't know. But I liked the first one of those. I thought that was very good.
The first one, I thought the first one was kind of, it was kind of like, you know, it was nice, it was flashy, it was slick, it was shiny, and you watched it and you left. It didn't change your life, but you just thought, oh, that was a nice, enjoyable couple of minutes.
We should wait and see what that one comes out like then.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see that. I'm hoping it's going to be good, because they have some good additions to the cast, but you never really know until you watch it.
Great. So
especially with sequels.
Yes, you can never tell with the sequels. Sometimes they're better than the first one, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just dying.
It's very, very rare that they're better than the first
one. Very rare indeed.
Very rare.
Okay, thank you, Tozy.
You're welcome.
Great stuff. And if you agree or disagree with him, you can always let us know.
Yeah.
And I will pass that on to him, because I see him regularly, and say that they didn't think that was good at all, or they thought that was better than you said it was going to be, so we shall see. But you pay your money and take your choice. All the details, of course, if you Google cineworld.co.uk, and put Isle of Wight in, otherwise you'll get the one in Newport. In Wales, if you put your own one. And of course, Commodore Cinema Ride will get you all the booking details and show times you could possibly want. Thanks, Tozin. We'll see you again soon.
Yep. www.vectisradio.com